It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
What's happening, tri-state area? Good morning. It's Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. Welcome to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Brian, I got to tell you, hilarious. Yes. Hilarious story.
Okay.
Only if you're familiar with Vegas radio stations.
Okay.
So no. I go to the dentist yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I go to the my dentist, and you fell out.
Did you go about 2:30?
That's my dad's favorite joke. That's really funny you would say that.
Oh.
That was his favorite joke, and that was his viewing time. When they had the open, you know, for family only.
Oh, wow.
And all
okay.
That. And
wow.
They called, I mean, they called, gave mom the viewing time and said it's at 2:30, and she started laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
But and anyway, had to explain it. So anyway, you fill out this paperwork. They take your temperature, and she goes, 97.1. And I said, the point. That's one of the big radio stations in Vegas.
What's
classic rock.
Yeah.
97.1, the point.
Yes.
So the other gal's looking at my shirt, which is a KNTR Talk shirt, and she says it's better than your temp being
106.3. Oh.
Boom, boom. Right?
Oh, my God.
That's pretty funny, though.
It is pretty funny.
She actually made it funny. Not even hearing our station being all the way.
Brought a chuckle.
Here in Mojave County. So, anyway, welcome to the show. Brian Springberg, of course, certified financial planner with Springberg Wealth Management. And we're sitting here wondering who the heck we're going to – we might just take requests for music, but I really don't want to go there.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. I'm
this is my hour of control. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless
exactly.
I agree.
I agree with
then
you.
I'm good with that.
I agree to agree. All right. So, forks up, all you Arizona State fans. Tonight is the opener against Southern Utah University. This one's coming from Tempe. And Southern Utah, not all that great, trust me. They lost last week 45-14 to San Jose State, which is a UNLV rival. Not that San Jose State's a bad team. The Spartans are pretty good. But Arizona State, I don't see them being surprised tonight by Southern Utah University out of Cedar City. That game starts at 7:30, the pregame at 7 on our sports station, 94.3, 100.5, and 980 a.m. here in Lake Havasu City. Diamondbacks return to action tomorrow at 6:40 p.m. As a side note, we have Diamondback tickets.
Oh.
We can give them away today since it's winning Thursday. We're going to give those away in the first, second, third break. Whenever you call and say, I want to go to the D-backs game, I'll give you four tickets. They're, if I remember right, they're field level. And
sweet yeah, ticks.
Hey, you're in control. I'll play what you want to play, Brian.
Okay.
That's fine. Brian just showed me who he wants to roll for tunes today on Sound Advice. Anyway, four tickets. Choose from Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I'll need your email. I will not give out your name or your – you have to give me your email, so I don't want you to call while we're on the air. I want you to call when we're in a break. And you'll get four tickets to either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday against the Mariners.
The, oh, okay. Yeah. Coming down.
Quality American League West competition. So the Friday game, if you can go, is at 6:40, Saturday at 5:10, Sunday at 1:10. So keep that in mind when you call in. All right. Today until 1 p.m. at the Mojave Room, this is in Parker, Blue Water Resort and Casino is featuring free COVID shots. Today until 1 p.m., Mojave Room, free Pfizer COVID vaccinations for anyone 12 and older. First come, first vaccinated. I love that, by the way. I don't know why. It's so Captain Obvious. Walk-in event, no appointment needed. Bring photo ID and insurance card. And 12 to 17-year-olds must be accompanied by an adult. If you want more details, you've got a little less than 2 hours to get her done. 928-669-3142. Again, that's at the Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker. Free Pfizer COVID vaccinations. And I've got a 9/11 United We Stand ceremony to talk about, but we'll save that for later on in the show. And Brian, what's happening today in the market?
Well, not a whole lot. NASDAQ down just slightly. U.S. markets almost completely flat as measured by the broad S&P 500 index. Currently the Dow at 35,361. So still right around the all-time highs doing phenomenally. And this is in the face of both, you know, good and bad news. So jobs reports came out in August, and that really had kind of been priced into the market. So the market's not really moving one way or the other as a result of that. Unemployment as a percentage, 5.2%. And there's hopefully we're going to see that number drop, as this is really where we see most of the country's unemployment bonuses, I guess, for lack of a better description, of $300 a week. Really, the rest of the states fall by the wayside, and hopefully less incentive for people to remain in that category. It's not going to change the labor shortage completely, but hopefully it will help some. But it is still an ongoing global issue. Production of goods and services is difficult to get things in a timely manner from all over the world, and that is continuing to cause some concerns about the potential for inflation going a little bit longer than expected, meaning that because there is still such high demand, the economy is still strong, there are so much liquidity, meaning people have money burning holes in their pockets, they're willing to spend, and that's out there, that it's going to continue to put pressure for production issues and transportation and shipping issues to continue in the, at least the near term. So if you are an impatient person and you are looking to order certain things, cabinets in some cases, or it could be anything. I was in the market for another kayak, and it was like, we can get you this one, but if you do want the one you really want, then you're looking January. And I was like,
It's for some reason IKEA comes to mind. And you get that IKEA do-it-yourself, put-it-together cabinet. Is everything going to be in there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a car without the microchip?
Including the instructions.
Yeah, car, yeah. Well, that's usually not my problem. My problem usually is, what do I do with all this stuff left over? What was that for?
You got this bag in your toolbox of stuff left over from like five different do-it-yourself projects, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's me.
And a string of injured friends and children from collapsing furniture.
Anyway.
But it is an ongoing interesting thing that's confronting our country, and I'm sure you are having some experiences if you're out there in the marketplace, and depending upon what you're looking to buy, that's definitely doing that. The growth is expected to be a little bit less than I think people had originally been hoping for. Part of that, of course, is due to ongoing issues with the coronavirus. But I'll tell you, the other thing is weather. There was a reason why the intelligence communities at the highest levels of this country for a decade have been saying that the number one threat facing the United States and many countries around the world is actually climate change. And you think, hey, well, what's the correlation? It's like, well, if certain nations around the world have pressures put on them due to economic collapse from the fact that climate change is not allowing them to provide enough food for their population, or it shuts down the aspects of their economy that generated revenue that allowed them
You read my mind with Afghanistan.
So
there's a, 33% of the population there is facing food shortage.
So that caused by, war and those things has always been the case, right?
Sure.
But, and time to time we've seen how weather can also affect that. But the reality is that climate change, look what, for the first time in the history of New York, one of the oldest, most venerable cities we have in our country, right?
Sure.
First time ever, flash flood watches downtown, and they from the hurricane remnants of Ida. And so as that comes, and so the economic impact of those things on government to be able to clean up the mess afterwards, and utility companies and all of that, where do you think those costs eventually get passed on to, right?
Certainly.
Your taxes.
Right.
Or they're going to have to sacrifice other services that they provide because so much more money is going there. That actually in Lake Havasu City has been a budget item that they have to address. And when it gets worse than expected, meaning cleanups after storms with monsoons, or whatever, and there's cost an extra $250,000, well, that $250,000's got to come from somewhere else, or you raise taxes. And if those incidents continue to increase like they are, Siberia on fire, for the first time in the history of our world, smoke from fires reaching the North Pole. That's the first time ever in history. And then you look at the California fires and and Oregon and, the whole West. And it's just those things are very real quality of life, et cetera. But the economic effects, if this continues to grow at the rate it has, floods, fires, storms, et cetera, is very real. And again, it comes back to what I've been pointing to is that it always seems to me that oftentimes the platform of one party is to put their head in the sand to pretend that these things aren't real. It's a bunch of scientists making a bunch of stuff up until, well, look, it's actually happening and upon us. And another party might say, well, the only solution we have is to, throw tons and tons of money at it. And so what happens is this country is not having the real conversations, and the politicians are not actually doing the things that need to be done to protect us, not only in our environment, but also, like I said, our economics.
Well, without spending the whole hour on this topic, which we could easily do, wouldn't it be refreshing if the Democrats and Republicans both talked about holding China, India, and Russia, for that matter, accountable for their pollution into the environment? 75% of Russia is almost uninhabitable because of either nuclear waste or fallout from Chernobyl or polluted rivers.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the 75% number, but it's complicated, and here's where it gets.
I'm talking about China and India, though.
I understand. And remember, we've talked about like China, right? Simultaneously, the world's leading polluter and the world's greatest generator of renewable energy at the same exact time in history. There's nobody even close to putting up the amount of solar fields, et cetera, as China, and getting away from fossil fuels. But at the same time, they are also one of the current biggest polluters. And on the show, I've given the example before of those countries are emerging markets. That means that where they are in their growth was where we were back at the turn of the century in some ways.
That's very true.
You ever see the pollution that we were pumping out then?
So was Europe.
It was all coal. It was all these things.
The Industrial Revolution.
Right. And so that pushed us forward. And so you look at real time now, and you can make the argument that, yeah, well, if we do it, how is it fair to our country in putting those onerous regulations on our corporations, and they don't have those same ones? And then the other side is like, well, yeah, but you guys have already had that success, and you're already there, and that's where, and you guys used to do the same thing too, and that's where we are, but we are actually actively pursuing those technologies. But the thing that I think that and it's a theme that I just absolutely love is that there's enough people concerned in our country that is making corporate responsibility take control of a lot of these environmental issues, meaning it's not that government regulation is necessary to do it. It's you know, being a good corporate citizen, because if you're not, you're going to actually lose market share. And so that's as big a driver as anything in many cases, as much as price and quality, et cetera, of the goods and services being produced. So it's just a very interesting thing, but it's not as simple as, well, they're polluting more than us, so we shouldn't do anything. Well, you know, you're just like your parents told you, oh, just because Johnny's doing it, doing the wrong thing, doesn't mean you should too.
It's not that we shouldn't do anything. It's just that I'm saying they should be part of the, it should be a global conversation.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
And agreed. And I think that happens, but let's face it, it ebbs and flows on it from administrations and, you know, different economics come into play. But definitely my point always is that don't just ignore those things as touchy-feely tree hugger, you know, ideas. They are not. They are right. True stability of your country and the economics of your country and how eventually it could affect your quality of life and your tax burden, because somebody's going to have to clean up the mess.
And, right.
And, you know, it's you with the shovel or the people who work for the government. So, you know, maybe we put that together. So.
Start shoveling.
Story of my life. Hey, we're going to be back, but turn it up. The Spinners is kind of what I threw out there, and I love this tune. Oldie but goodie. Enjoy. We'll be back in just a few minutes on Sound Advice and Speak
first,
Out.
The first thing I thought of, have you seen that Questlove project? What's it called? The Summer of Soul?
Mm-mm.
That's on Hulu?
Oh, yeah.
It's excellent.
I know what you're talking about.
And I thought they were in it, the Spinners, but they're not. It actually features Stevie Wonder playing drums. How does that work, right? It's amazing.
It's all about feel.
He's nailing it. Nina Simone, you've got Gladys Knight and the Pips, Mahalia Jackson, Staple Singers, B.B. King, Ray Barretto, The Temptations, former frontman David Ruffin, Fifth Dimension, and a whole lot more. So that's why I thought the Spinners were on that as well.
Gotcha.
It's one of those long-lost festivals in the same year as Woodstock.
Cool. I love it. I love it.
Back with more in a moment. We've got a call for those D-backs tickets. Hang on just a second, caller. We'll be with you in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. It's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. Stay with us. We're back on Speak Out. Some Spinners by request of bspringberg.com. Right?
Not really.
Is that yours?
No.
I know it's your email, right? bspringberg@something or other. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank. Also, Thane O'Brien was spot on. They help with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784. Send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. That's TOBryan with an E @spoton.com. And of course, Springberg Wealth Management. Thank you so much for your continued sponsorship over the last 21 years, I think.
Absolutely. Getting.
You believe this show's like 21 years old?
Yeah.
It might be 22 by now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if I've been on it since day one, but
there was like, there were Dave Bell, Jared, Steve Cleverly, then me, then Roger, then Kevin.
Yep.
And then myself again.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm like the queen, right? I'm like,
wait a minute.
So I know, bad example.
That's kind of weird.
I know. So what's that series on Netflix or,
The Tudors?
No. God, that's like soft porn. Not that I've watched it.
I've never watched
every single episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did not know that. How would I know that?
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
So anyway.
There's a series on Netflix, and so it was just interesting though, because prime ministers, one after the other, came and went, uh-huh. and it was just interesting showing over the course of her reign of, you know, whatever, 80 years or whatever it's been, how many have gone through. So I'm just saying, so I'm in that way. I'm sitting in the seat, and I've just seen the host come and go, but I'm here, solid, stable Brian.
Elizabeth II, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 1948, I believe.
When she came in, So literally that long, and just think of all the prime ministers who have had to sit in her audience over those years. And so to that end, you're the prime minister for now, and I'm the queen, and I'll still be here when you're gone, because that's my analogy.
That's funny. I'm wondering if there are odds makers out there who have an over-under on her age, if she's going to make it to 100, for example.
Isn't she
like
100?
I think she's 95.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she's 100
yet. I don't follow the royal family like I should.
Well, just Harry and Meghan, right?
Yeah, glued to my People magazine. So, this is an amazing statistic, and tells you again how much money is in prescription drugs. Unbranded generic drugs represent 84% of all the prescription drugs sold in the United States by volume, but represent 12% of the U.S. spending on drugs. So another way of phrasing that is 88% of the spending on prescription drugs is only done for 16% of the drugs actually prescribed.
Wait, roll that back.
88% of the cost is for 16% of the drugs prescribed, and 12% of the money spent is for the generic drugs, but that represents 84% of everything sold. So these prescription companies, the drug companies, they spend, money, obviously, on research and development. And if they can hit a home run on the Alzheimer's drug or the this or the that.
And get a patent.
They get the patent, but those patents expire after so many years, and then it goes generic. And so they've got those years to make that huge amount of profit, and then they have to develop the next thing. So there's an incentive to constantly develop a new drug that gets patented in some way that, where is the justification of how much it helps or doesn't help or how beneficial and some of it is amazing and a godsend and wonderful. But some of it is obviously questionably for profit at some level. And then you have to also wonder at certain levels how much government subsidy there is and how much lobbying there is at the highest levels and all these different things that take place. But I knew that was the case, but this is from, Rand Corporation did this survey, and it just blows my mind. 12% of U.S. spending on generic drugs, but that's 84% of all the prescription drugs people take. The other 88% is only on the 16% that is still name brand.
Right.
So you can think of Costco in that way, right? You can go buy yourself the Johnny Walker Blue, or you can buy the Kirkland, you know, brand. And I don't know that this is true, but you know, if that bottle's, you know, $500, you can buy the same exact thing under the Kirkland label for $220 or whatever. And the same things at your grocery stores, everybody, no different. In terms of the, you know, Safeway has their brand and Smith's has their brand, and maybe it's the same or even better than the name brands, but you're paying more just for that.
I fall into that category when I go shopping for Bailey's.
Mm.
There's four or five different kinds of Irish cream.
Yeah.
So I found the one that I'm happy with cost-wise and taste-wise.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. All right. Everything in this life is, you know, the level of quality versus the price. Like, we don't have to spend the money to have the absolute best thing, because most of us have limited budgets, right? On some level, if, you know, there's unlimited budgets, I guess, out there. But what we always look for is what's a reasonable price to pay for something relative to the quality of what we're getting. And everything, almost everything in this world fits under that description. So we got to go to our next break right away here, but we've got just another oldie classic to enjoy. Get your soul, get your groove on on this Thursday here on Sound Advice and Speak Out.
We're headed for the skating rink after the show, right? That's what this reminds me of.
Oh, okay.
This song right here, that and there's one called Rubber Band Man. I don't know if that's the Spinners or not.
It is the Spinners,
okay.
And we got to play that before this hour's over. Because
right.
That's everybody's going to recognize that, too.
Probably. All right, back with more in a moment. You're listening to Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie. Brian, of course, is certified financial planner with Springberg Wealth Management. Back with more after a break. Joe picked up tickets to the Diamondbacks for Sunday, so we have Friday and Saturday left. Give me a call during the break. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. People say the number too fast, so
take your time.
There it is, 854-5687. If you want tickets for either Friday or Saturday for the Diamondbacks and the Mariners, stay with us. Rubber Band Man Jam, right?
Yeah.
Because Brian is busy on Google right now, and we'll get to that in a minute. Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, my favorite two words, or favorite word differentiated by an apostrophe, herbs.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
In the possessive, by the way. SunPower by SMA Electric. And Bobby Lewis at the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with Julie Lewis, Brian Bessley, and Lori Rule. Bobby being the team leader. And, of course, Springberg Wealth Management. And we had a call during the break. Not for Diamondbacks tickets, but an interesting historical note that has kind of become a footnote, sadly.
I mean, definitely, and time has a way of doing that, obviously, as well as, what's important to listeners from mass media's perspective in terms of who their listener or watching viewer, you know, viewership is and who they want to appeal to. So caller called in and said, hey, you know, everybody, don't forget, it was on this day, 1945, that Japan surrendered, essentially ending World War II.
Sure.
So thank you for that call, caller, and proud moment in the history of the world and our country.
So it was announced...
Sure.
The surrender of Imperial Japan was announced by Japanese Emperor Hirohito on August 15th and formally signed on the USS Missouri on September 2nd, 1945. Great note.
Great
Thank
note.
You, Don. Great
yep.
call.
Yep. The home sales continue to be pretty blistering. The median sales price of a new home sold in our country this year, so far, $390,500, an all-time record high on both just a numeric, flat dollar basis, and even an inflation-adjusted basis. And so, we just so you can put that into perspective again, what I said. Median, the average price of a home in the United States, all-time high in June of this year. And so if it feels like that's the case, it's because it is, in fact, the case. Other things that I want you to kind of keep in mind, and this is something I think that some people are unaware of. So we talk sometimes about the need to plan for your long term, meaning that not only your retirement, but when health starts to fade and maybe you're going to start needing some assistance in your home or long term care, things of that nature that are more than likely going to affect most people listening to the show at some point, providing you live long life. So when you buy the insurance that pays for many of those expenses. By the way, it's not Medicare. It's not,
supplement?
It's not supplements. It's none of those things. It's a separate insurance altogether called long-term care. Well, you can deduct your premiums. If you're 71 or older, you can deduct up to $5,640 a year of those premiums. And if you're 61 to 70 years old, you can deduct $4,520 in premium. And if you're 51 to 60 years old, you can deduct up to $1,690 in premium. So, in other words, if you're between 61 and 70, you need to check with your accountant if you're eligible for that deduction, because if you, federal and state, again, your tax bracket's 25%, and you're throwing $4,500 a year or more towards your premiums for that coverage, you might be able to reduce your real cost by $1,100-$1,200 just because of the deduction you get in taxes off of that, which is a significant discount. So if you are paying long-term care premiums, you really need to check with your accountant to see if you're eligible to claim a deduction on that cost. And that should factor into whether or not you can afford it, because it isn't always the least expensive. It can be costly, but not near as costly as bleeding out $6,000-$8,000 a month out of your checking account if you have to use that kind of service, and all the money you've saved for your entire lifetime that you hope to use or pass to your spouse or to your children, heirs or whatever, instead goes towards the those kinds of costs. And so everything that you can do to preserve your assets and, of course, in my opinion, save taxes along the way, you certainly need to take advantage of that.
And $6,000 a month, that totals, what, $72,000 a year?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's an
oblique. That's heavy.
And that's now.
Right.
Fast forward 20 years from now, what does that look like?
About six or more like $8,000 a month. Sure.
Yeah. Another thing, if you're somebody who's thought about using a financial advisor, there's a lot of things that you can kind of do some homework on when you're choosing that financial advisor. Obviously, what most people use is word of mouth. In other words, you're going to talk to three or four or five people. Who do you use? People you respect or you think have some knowledge. And are you happy and that kind of thing? But also your fellow professionals, meaning maybe you ask your attorney, your CPA. But independently, you can check if what the accreditations are. For instance, I'm a certified financial planner. There's not a lot of us around. There are plenty of advisors, but not everybody has the higher accreditations within their own industry, and that's any industry.
You mean CFPs locally or nationwide? There's not
In the county. There's not a ton. There are obviously many tens of thousands all over the country, but you know, as a percentage of advisors. Like, you know, if you have 100 advisors, you know, how many are CFPs? You know, I don't know the answer. Seven, you know.
Right.
10, you know,
where's that certification come from, Brian? We've never really talked about that.
So it's actually a independent board, an independent organization. And so, they, are in charge essentially of making sure that you want, you know, to receive the accreditation, you have to have been in the industry for so many years, usually referred by other CFPs. You have to pass a number of strenuous exams and ethical background checks, and then you have to keep that up over the years through continuing education and ongoing ethical violations. In other words, you know, you're supposed to be held to a higher standard of both knowledge and expertise, as well as just, you know, how you conduct business on an ethical level. So. But you can go to, even independent of that, forget that accreditation, advisors can be listed under a website. If you want to jot it down, you can go to advisorinfo.sec, Securities Exchange Commission, .gov. So advisorinfo.sec.gov, and you can look up the disciplinary record of advisors. You know, have they had sanctions against them for violations? And you can also go into a broker's background. There's brokercheck.finra, FINRA.org, brokercheck.finra.org. And so there are independent ways that you can say, you can look up somebody's history to say, oh, well, they, just like you can with physicians, you know, nowadays you can say, oh, they've had, you know, complaints filed against them, and et cetera. And so doing that due diligence is worth it, because when you entrust somebody with your financial plan, it's obviously incredibly important to make sure that you have a comfort level, that they are not only knowledgeable, but also honest and don't have a background that should have made you question them. And then just in general, too, the last thing you can do is interview and ask a lot of questions. So when I have an initial consultation, that consultation is a combination of both myself interviewing the client to get a feel for, you know, who they are and what their assets are and what their goals are, and enough information for me to suggest and present a financial plan. And at the same time, they're going to be obviously investigating me and interviewing me and getting a feel for how I practice and asking questions. And that's the time that you ask, how do your fees work, and you know, how do you handle investment portfolios in difficult times, and what kind of strategies would you employ if things were to go down 30% in the market? You know, how often do you meet with your clients? What kind of service, what kind of interaction can I expect from you in the future? And really get into the things that you should, so that you make sure that before you proceed, you're comfortable. And actually, I do the same thing. The vast majority of people I interview are wonderful people. But sometimes I can tell they're not going to be a great fit for me. And you know, after that, I won't take a second appointment, whether it because of it just doesn't seem like a good fit personality-wise, or maybe what they're looking for isn't quite my area of expertise, and I think they'd be better served with somebody in a different vein than what I do, and I'll wholeheartedly recommend that to them, not out of any other reason than it's the best thing for that person, and that they would be better served looking elsewhere. So that works both ways, but it is incumbent upon you, and don't be shy about, one, seeking advice and help, because a lot of people who do come to see me eventually, after the first or second appointment, get an understanding of what I really do, say, ah, I wish I had come to see you 5 years ago, or, you know, 10 years ago, or whatever. You know, so don't be overly suspicious because most advisors are out there to do the right thing and have a level of expertise to help you. But to be sure, use some of the things I suggested to you. Might give you some peace of mind. We got our last break coming up here. We're going to work our way back to the last segment of the show, but I'm done in just a few minutes here on Sound Advice and Speak Out.
Last break, oh, the hour, as Brian normally says. We still have two games worth of D-backs tickets to give away, four tickets each game, Friday and Saturday, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. If you want to go see the D-backs and Mariners either Friday or Saturday, give us a call. We'll be back with more in a moment. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3 FM and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned therein. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial, member of FINRA, SIPC. Sage Point Financial is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced in here are independent of Sage Point Financial.
All right, working our way back to Brian Springberg. Thought I'd never say that my whole life.
It's work. It's work.
Here's Brian. We got about four.
Ask my wife.
About 3.5 minutes.
So it was interesting. I had a meeting yesterday with their clients, but it was a prospective meeting regarding putting a retirement plan into their company here in Lake Havasu City. And his main focus was, is there something I can do to give back to my employees that they, you know, will appreciate and take advantage of to put away money for themselves, for their future? So not only am I a place to get a paycheck, but actually, you know, they're building something and putting money away, and eventually those monies will be used to help them live a better quality of life financially when they go to retire. And he said, what do you think? What do you recommend? And what's, you know, my experience been? And I said, you know, it depends. Of course, different people are different. So I've had plenty of young people who recognize the value, or had a parent or grandparent tell them, yeah, you better be getting involved in that 401k program, and you'd be a huge mistake not to. And then I've had plenty who just show up, don't pay attention, don't care, where do I sign to not do it, and on to the next thing. And it's frustrating because the employer is saying, I'm willing to take administrative time and effort to do this. And by the way, most of them are doing a match of, you know, whatever it is, 3% or 4%. So I'm willing to give you more money, free money to you in addition to your paycheck, to help you with your retirement plan, and yet kind of get snubbed. And the goal too, of course, from the employer's perspective, is to build loyalty, to keep employees longer. You know, the lower you have turnover as an employer, the more profitable you are, the less time you're doing with training, the less headaches you have, the, you know, better and more knowledgeable your employees are because they've been doing it longer. All those things are valuable to you as an owner of a business. And so you're trying to incent them to do it. And I said, ultimately, what you're going to want to do, you're not going to be able to control those people who just don't see the light to how to help themselves. But you're going to be able to retain some of your better employees who are going to appreciate it. And most of them have probably been there for a little bit. And those of them that you want to attract. If you want high quality workers, and they're going to ask you what benefits, what do you do? And so that's a double-sided message. If you're an owner, this is an avenue maybe to keep or get better help. And if you're an employee, if you want to be, show your appreciation to your employer and to your country and to yourself so that you're not relying on the government for your benefits or your family, it's up to you to take care of you. And if an employer is willing to help you along the way, that's even better. Have a great, safe Labor Day weekend, everybody. Be safe out there. Stay cool. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week here on Sound Advice on Speak Out.
Perfect. All right. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Regina Cobb's going to be our guest, by the way.